Town coming up, folks. But this stage don't stop there. Fact is, no stage stops there. We go on through Holyrood at a gallop. So hold on tight and say your prayers if you got 'em.
Sean O'Brien had been lost in thought, deep in heartbreaks of the past. But now he stirred himself.
Why's that? Why all the hurry?
Because Holyrood is a downright dangerous place to be, young fella. Especially if you got a sin to hide.
Yeah, we've all got a sin to hide.
The speaker was a pleasant-faced man who wore the broad cloth finery and string tie of the frontier gambler, his black frock coat now a uniform tan from his trail dust.
Then repent for your sins and hold on like I told you. This here stage is barreling through that damn town like a deadheading express.
Oh, dear.
This passenger had the timid, downtrodden look of a henpecked husband.
When we left Silver Reef, Wells Fargo didn't inform me that my life would be in such peril.
Hell, they never do. Holyrood ain't on the map as far as Wells Fargo's concerned.
What sin are you hiding, mister? Looking at you, I'd say whiskey and women are your downfall.
Oh, good heavens, no. My lady wife would never allow that. She bade me promise on our wedding night that my lips would ne'er touch ardent spirits, nor my loins join in unholy union with those of another woman.
Then I guess you've nothing to fear. Hell, man, you're a shining example to all of us.
The gambler's eyes moved to the girl sitting next to the little man. She seemed pretty in the Silver Reef boom town, but hours in the stage had taken its toll. Now she looked weary, hot, and uncomfortable, and smelled musky of perspiration and stale perfume.
What about you, Missy? You got a little sin to confess?
I don't think that's an appropriate question to ask a lady. I reckon you should guard your tongue, mister.
The gambler had to crane his head to look at Sean, and when he did, he wished he hadn't. The young man's handsome, well-bred face wore a mild, almost amused expression, but the gambler read 100 different kinds of hell in his blue eyes. He'd seen eyes like that before across a lot of card tables. The I-don't-give-a-damn look of the seasoned gunfighter.
The gentleman is correct, of course. I'm sorry if I said anything to offend you, ma'am. That was far from my intention.
No offense taken. You asked a most singular question, sir, and my answer to it is that I cuss sometimes.
I rather fancy that any cuss from lips as sweet as yours must be mild indeed.
Well, I do say hell and damn when the occasion demands it.
And I say a hell of a lot damn worse than that, young lady. And you'll probably hear it when we hit the main street through Holyrood. Now let's get this here rig rolling. You see a poor soul with his head on a chopping block, don't look no further, huh? That ain't a sight for good Christian folks.
Yeah! What did he mean about a poor soul's head on a chopping block? It was a most distressing thing to hear.
I wouldn't worry about it. Stage drivers are like ferrymen, crazy as bull bats. I ain't never met a sane one yet.
It was a strange thing to say, all the same.
I'll allow you that, mister. It was a strange thing to say.
A couple of minutes later, it was the girl who first saw him. The yellowed skulls that grinned atop tall timber posts bordering both sides of the wagon road.
My God, what kind of town is this? It's signposted by the devil itself.
Sean looked out the window. Skull after skull flashed past, mostly yellow. A few still red and raw. He tried to count the skulls, but soon gave up. There were just too many of them. The gambler leaned out the window, a short-barreled Colt in his hand.
That isn't decent. Skulls of dead men lining the road. I tried to shoot some of them off.
Hit any?
Not a one.
Help coming up! Hang on, folks!
Sean looked out the window again. A dozen yards in front of him, a large painted sign read,
"Welcome to Holyrood, a blessed place. Come worship with us."
The stage hammered into the town's main drag. The town's buildings flickered past, and then catastrophe. fleeing a butcher, a big meat hog charged out of an alley, weighing a little over 300 pounds. It was solid enough and fast enough to slam into the left lead horse. The following horses crashed into the downed animal and then hit the ground in a tangle of kicking legs. The stage tipped over on two wheels and then crashed onto its side. The driver was thrown clear, but his neck broke when the back of his head slammed into the boardwalk. Sean had been thrown on top of the gambler, and the timid man was lost under a flurry of the girl's white petticoats.
Hell, mister, you're crushing me to death. Get off me.
Sorry. I'm gonna move and get the door open.
Then move carefully, for God's sake. I'm dying here.
I'll try.
The girl managed to squirm into a sitting position on the little man's chest.
You all right, miss? No broken bones?
I don't think so.
I can't breathe. I'm getting crushed to death.
Hold on. I'll get you out of there.
But before Sean could make a move, the stage door was thrown open and a bearded man's head appeared.
Is anybody hurt?
I don't think so.
Then praise the Lord. His sweet mercy has spared you.
The man reached into the stage.
Get the girl first.
Grab my hands, young woman.
The girl was hauled out, and then the little man.
Mister, I need to stand on you. I'll try not to step on your face.
Just do it, and damn you for weighing more than my ex-mother-in-law.
Using the gambler as a step, Sean clambered through the open door and onto the street. The gambler got out a few moments later, bleeding from a cut on his forehead, his eyes blazing, and some sharp words for Sean just on the tip of his tongue. But then, like the intended target of his wrath, he could only stand open-mouthed and silent, stunned by what he saw. Five men wearing monkish black robes and flat-brimmed, low-crowned hats of the same color stood around the stage. All wore belted Colts and carried Winchesters. Nowhere was a smile to be seen. Sean pegged them as hard cases in monk's clothing, and a couple of them had the look and arrogant attitude of Texan hired guns.
Your driver is dead. Now your horses are dead. You'll stay here in town until your fate is decided.
Now see here, my name is Ernest J. Petwood III, and I'm a senior representative of the Miles and Anderson's Lady Corset Company of St. Louis. I demand that you arrange the transportation to my original destination, and I mean instanter.
The bearded man stared at Petwood as though he was some slimy thing that had just crawled out from under a rock. His face like stone, he raised his rifle. The girl ran to the dead man.
You damned animal!
Anybody else got it a man they want solved instanter?
They'll see you hang for this.
Sean took a step toward the bearded man, then stopped as four rifles swung in his direction.
His was an obscene profession. Such as he can't be allowed to live and pollute the very air we breathe in this fair town.
I've seen you before, mister. Can't remember where, but I'll swear it was on a wanted poster.
Brother Melchizedek, search the men for firearms.
The gambler opened his coat with his left hand.
Take it, in the shoulder holster.
Brother Melchizedek took the gambler's Colt, then turned to Sean.
Where's your gun?
I don't have one.
Search him, brother. He has a dishonest face and a mocker's tongue.
Sean opened his coat and the man named Melchizedek patted him down.
He has no gun, Brother Uzziah.
By what name do you call yourself?
I call myself by the name my parents gave me. What misbegotten son of a whore gave you yours?
You wear the garb of a professional card player and are thus already suspect. Best you keep a civil tongue in your head.
Or what? You'll murder me like you did the drummer?
I must tell you that I believe your fate may already be sealed. Look to the church and tell me what you see.
The gambler's eyes shifted to the steepled church at the end of the street.
A gallows? What kind of people puts an obscenity like that at the door of a church?
It's a guillotine. It removes the heads of the sinful and dispatches them to hell. Instanter, as the drummer said.